Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. And tonight, we are talking about midsummer gods and summer gods and deities associated, well, gods associated with this time of year. And interestingly, while there are a lot of gods and a fair number of goddesses that are associated with the sun, it's a little more difficult to find a wide array of gods that are specifically associated with midsummer in particular. Now, there are some that are associated with the summer solstice, but a lot of times when we see deities that are associated with the summer solstice, it usually revolves around the sun at the height of its power. But that's not to say that's the only thing that's going on. I think it just depends on how you look at these associations and how we fit them in into a modern context. Now, I don't know about you. Now, there's some of you probably do. Maybe you do farming on the scale where it's more than just the summer garden, because I'm sure there are people that do larger scale work. You know, but a lot of times here in modern times, we might have gardens for different kinds of summer plants, or maybe herbs or flowers. And there are people who have their summer gardens with tomatoes and squash and maybe a few other things. But we are very much divorced from the role of agriculture in our modern day life. I mean, if you think thousands of years ago, people really did do a lot of interactions with gods and goddesses from many different parts of the world, because the connection to their deities was also very intimately tied to the place where they lived and also the time of year. So it was all part of one aspect, one big aspect of how ancient peoples lived their lives. So it can be a little more difficult, I think, to make those connections when we're sitting here in the 21st century. I mean, we're sitting here and we have computers and we have various electronical type gigods and doodads, and we're doing a podcast over the internet in an air-conditioned place. And so we're living here with all of the modern accoutrements of 21st century living. And so it can be kind of difficult to make those connections and to keep those connections, of course, especially this past year and a half with the pandemic. And hopefully more people are able to get outside and connect with the land in one way, shape, or another. And no, you don't have to be farming the land on some sort of large acreage somewhere for you to have that connection. You can have a connection in your own backyard under your own shade tree or on your back patio with various summer flowering plants and herbs. Or by going to some wooded area, doesn't have to be a big national forest. It can be a small park, maybe the woods next to your house. So there's all sorts of ways we can reach out and make those connections and reforge those connections. So as I've thought about this past month, as I was getting ready for this particular show, I was thinking about all these different deities that are common and some that are not as common that we may have heard about, some that we maybe have worked with in one way or another. And you start to think about all the different ways that you can interact with these gods at this time of year. And I chose gods in particular because I've done several shows over the years that are associated with different goddesses, but not as much with gods. So I try to keep a little bit of balance going on and honor these gods as my part of trying to reforge connections and just learn something more about some of these. And some of these we've heard about. We know about some of these. One of them, bestest well known, one of the gods that even if you do not work with an Egyptian pantheon, you know about this deity, and this is Ra. Ra is, interestingly, a better-known sun deity of ancient Egypt, although Ra was not initially worshipped as a primary sun god. One other deity that came before, and according to some readings, I don't want to say replaced, maybe replaced is the way to word this, and this would be the Aten. We've heard this, Aten instead of Ra.
Oh, yeah.
And over time, in the later dynasties of Egyptian culture, Ra somehow ended up kind of taking over and becoming the main sun god and one of the primary gods, not the only one. And of course, it's if you know anything about Tutankhamun or King Tut, about his history, his father infamously got rid of all the other gods of Egypt and disallowed worship of the other gods to be replaced only with Ra. And the people didn't like it very much. And once he died, people are so angry about it that they hacked off and chiseled off all reference to Akhenaten because they were pissed. So that's one other way you may have heard about Ra as well. But interestingly, as a sun god, he did not come onto the scene as the primary, one of the primary deities that Egyptians worshipped. It was later on that Ra was worshipped as a deity. And one theme that you hear with this god and some others of other cultures is this concept of riding a chariot or racing a chariot across the sky to pull the sun or something along those lines. But this was one of the main things associated with this god. But prior to that, it was Aten. And at some point, Aten was seen as an aspect of Ra, but at other times, Aten was seen as separate, which is interesting. So depending on how much research you find on this and you want to do on this, there could be various aspects of sun gods of Egypt that you can learn about and find out more information on and maybe incorporate them different ways into your daily practices, especially during these warmer months when we have here in the Northern Hemisphere so many more hours of daylight, especially as you go farther north in the Northern Hemisphere. There are places where you could end up with 22 hours of sunlight in a day. So you can really get your sun on and really do some big honoring and working with these particular energies during these long, long daytime hours. Another god of ancient Egypt that was also associated with the sun was Horus. And Horus also rose with the sun and set every day just like the sun does. And interestingly, probably not surprisingly, Horus was also associated with Ra. So there were these kind of overlaps over time with these particular deities. So I talk about the sun, but it's worth noting that, again, this is not only associated strictly with summertime. Back here in that part of the world, we're still back in ancient times, and now we go across the water to ancient Greece, ancient Rome, and we have Apollo and Helios. And Apollo was seen as a god of the sun, also a god of healing, and also a god of music and medicine. See, he was associated with many different things. And at some point, because of the bleed over in the influence of multiple cultures on each other at different times, at some point, Apollo also took on some of the aspects of Celtic deities.
Yeah.
Because ancient Greece was conquered by the Romans, and they spread the worship of these different deities everywhere they went, really. And so sometimes it's hard to draw that definitive line and say, well, absolutely, that god would have been associated with that sort of a thing. But again, since we're talking modern times, we can put our own stamp on things. We can look at these attributes, and we can look at these aspects and say, that's a deity that I feel compelled to learn about, or that's a deity that I want to honor because I feel strongly that it's associated with this time of year and maybe this period of my life, or maybe just because it's summertime and the sun is the strongest. Now, Helios, which was also, depending on where you read your source material, was either Greek or was a Roman god, and everything I've read said that it's Roman deity. And so at some point, Apollo identified with aspects of Helios. Helios is also a god of the sun. And for some of these gods, it's not just an aspect of the sun. For some, these gods are the personification of the sun. Aten was the personification of the sun, and Helios was also the personification of the sun. And Helios, as the sun god, drove a chariot across the sky every day so that the sun would rise and move across the sky. And again, rather than being a god associated with the sun, he was seen as the sun. And so as we move closer to this time, which will be a time about 10 days from now, that is the literal summer solstice. We can take this larger window of time and work with these gods right now. Moving over to the British Isles, we have Lu, which is a god that is associated with the sun, but not the personification. Lu also means brilliant one or shining one, because his brilliance was so bright. And Lu was different because he's associated with skill. He is a god of skill and talent. And the games associated with Lunasad, which is the first harvest, are in honor of the god Lu. So While one could argue, well, Lou is associated with Lunasaw, the first harvest, Lou is also associated with summertime because of the growing green things in the earth, because also, really, when you're talking about midsummer time, and you look over large areas where things are growing, there are already all kinds of things that are being harvested. And so while we have these three holidays, these three seasonal celebrations that are associated with the harvest, really harvest occurs even in here in summertime. There are plenty of things that we start to harvest. There are fruits. There's some early summer vegetables. There are many types of flowers, blooming flowers. One of the things that we also, many people do at this time when we start to harvest herbs, magical plants. And so with this greening of the earth, Lou is associated with these green and growing crops and these things that are either going to be harvested now or will be harvested in the near future. So again, he's associated with the sun, but really I see him as being a god associated with the summertime because of the role that he plays, not only as a harvest god, but as a god that's associated with the bright, shining sun as well. And there are other deities that I have that are Celtic, but are not necessarily associated with the British Isles. There are other areas where the Celts, the ancient Celtic peoples, would have lived.
Oh, yeah. There's the Gaulish and,
right,
and you know, British and others, yeah.
And what's interesting is that there are actually a couple of gods that are associated with ancient Gaul that were sun gods. And one of them is Belenos, or B-E-L-E-N-E-S, or U-S.
Or
U-S. Yeah, there's different spellings. And according to some, this deity was associated with what would have, with Beltane. Now, there are different schools of thought on that and different theories, but some say this is where the name of Beltane came from, was that particular god. And while he's associated with the sun, he's also associated with fires. And so you see that as well. You see deities that are associated with fire and by extension become associated with sun, with the sun for some of them. And the role that the sun played and the importance of the sun in these different cultures of different parts of the world would also impact what role that god played in other things. Like, for example, in a civilization like Greece, Apollo is also seen not only as a god associated with the sun, but also of healing, because he was also associated with being a god of medicine. That's where the healing aspect came in, but he's also associated with music and therefore, by extension, creativity, probably, and creative endeavors. So it really depended on how the role of the sun was associated with certain aspects of personality or life or what have you.
Was it's interesting is that Belinus was actually popular during Roman times and in Roman areas and stuff in Italy and things too. So his, you know, he wasn't just like when people think of Celtic, they think of the, you know, British Islands and Ireland and Wales and Scotland
right.
and stuff. But in Celtic Gaul, and then he became, and this particular god became popular down into Italy. Yeah.
Right, and doesn't he have a city named after him?
He was a patron god of...
Or a patron god, sorry.
Right. Well, in Aquileia, where did you see that? Oh, yeah, Aquileia, Italy, which is in northern Italy, but, you know.
Yeah.
Also known as the Shining God or the Fair Shining One. So, like with Lou, you know, the Shining One.
Right.
Kind of same, yeah.
And this is how... When you see these intersections, which I always find interesting. So we've got Apollo and Helios and all this weaving in and out.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Lou and Mercury, because as I've read more and more about Lou over the years, there are associations of attributes of Mercury that are sometimes also attributed to Lou because of the influence of Rome in the British Isles.
Right.
Because the ancient Romans were there for a few hundred years before they gave
up and
left.
Yeah. And he's another one who rode the sun across the sky in a chariot, in a horse-drawn chariot. That's a very common theme of these gods. Yeah.
Now, there are some interesting gods of the Americas that I'm fascinated by. And it turns out that there's not just one, but they're actually, depending on... when this occurred in Mesoamerica, before or after the Aztec Empire rose to power, and where this god plays in the mythology of these people. And I'm going to try my best not to butcher.
Hitzolopotilo.
you butchered that, Boo. Huitzilopochtli. Huitzilopochtli. Pochtli. If Laura were here, she would laugh at us. Laura Gonzalez, who is from Mexico, who lives in Chicagoland and is a Circle Sanctuary minister. Oh, did you just find something?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, and David, even though I'm half Mexican.
Huitzilopochtli.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Closer.
That's closer.
Huitzilopochtli.
Not too bad.
According to Wikipedia's verbal, you know, interpreter thingy.
Yeah. This is an interesting sun god. So he's a god of the sun, but because it was ancient Aztec society, Aztec culture, warfare was a central part of their life, and so was human sacrifice. So not only is he a sun god, he was also the patron god of the city of Tenochtitlan.
Okay.
He was also a god of war and a god of human sacrifice. And in this culture, human sacrifices were routinely made because blood of humans was seen as so sacred and important that and critical that the ultimate sacrifice you give to your god is sacrificing someone. And there was a number of different circumstances in peoples that would end up being sacrificed. But human sacrifices were routinely made at different times, not only seasonally, but in the history of these people to ensure the survival of the people. It might have been to ensure that rain happened or to ensure survival of crops. But if for this god in this particular instance, the sacrifices ensured the sun's survival for the next 52 years.
Okay.
And 52 is an important number in Mesoamerican myths. It also was an important number in the calendar of the ancient Aztecs. And one thing that's also interesting is that so this god is a warrior god and not seen as necessarily, you know, not this beneficent god that's, you know, not associated with anything, you know, that you might associate with some other deities of ancient cultures. I mean, he was associated with warfare and probably by extension protecting the people. So as a sun god, I think he probably also was a god that had very strong protective elements associated with his worship and honoring. And one of the myths of this god was that he battled another sun god, an earlier sun god, and the name of this god was, I'm going to try, Nanahuatzin. I'm probably totally screwing up the translation of this. There's another Aztec god.
That's pretty close. Nanahuatzin.
Nanahuatzin?
Yeah.
Okay. Sacrificed himself in fire so that he would continue to shine on earth as the sun.
Okay.
So while you've got gods that are sun gods that are associated with skill and medicine and healing and, of course, crops and making sure that the land got power from the sun, you have a noticeably different kind of twist on things.
Yeah.
You've got this concept of sacrifice that not only is, we know about sacrifice of gods at different times of the year, but typically you don't hear about a god sacrificing himself or performing sacrifices. It's not as common of a theme in different cultures. So we've talked about all these deities, and of course we have to throw in with this larger group. We did a lot of sun-type stuff, but in modern neo-paganism, especially at the summer solstice, at midsummer, is the battle between the Oak King and the Holly King, and it also happens at the winter solstice. And so, while not always seen as a god separate per se, I would have to elevate them as God associated with summer, God associated with winter, or God associated with the coming, with the end of winter and coming of summer, and then vice versa,
mm-hmm.
with the Oak King and Holly King. And in the summer, the battle is that the battle that occurs results in the Holly King winning the battle, because after the summer solstice, then the number of minutes of daylight decreases until you get to the winter solstice. And then X number of days after, you have the return of the numbering, the number of minutes of sunlight every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the death of the, or defeat, depending on what book you read out of and what source material it is. You have the defeat of the Holly King and the supremacy of, the defeat of the Oak King and the supremacy of the Holly King that occurs at this, at this conjunction. Another thing is, another god that we have to talk about is the Horn God. And again, in modern neo-paganism, this god of maybe Europe in general or Central Europe,
mm-hmm.
and the British Isles has morphed into this Greenland god that doesn't necessarily specifically have a name associated with a specific god of a specific pre-Christian culture, but has become a very important god that people honor at this time of the year.
The Horn God, yeah.
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 And the Horn God is associated with the greening of the earth. He's associated with the living things on the land, regardless of where you're talking about, and associated with all of the wild creatures, associated with wild places. And as we strive to connect or reconnect with these aspects of nature,
mm-hmm.
the Horn God has become a very important symbol and a very important deity as part of that honoring and as part of the way that people connect. So it turns out there's a lot of different ways we can connect. We can look at these deities, look at these gods of ancient cultures, and have a more you can have a more traditional association of connection based on what is written about the historical and mythological associations. But I think you can also, there's also room to find your own connection with this, with any of these gods, to forge your own new connections. And so how would we do that? How do you go about doing that? And one thing that a lot of people do is with meditations. You can set aside a specific time, maybe get some stones associated with the sun, different plants and herbs associated with the sun, light a yellow candle of any particular type, have an idea, image in your mind of this sun god from wherever,
yep.
and work on having regular meditations or journeys to forge connections. That is definitely one way you can do this. You can also do something as simple as a daily honoring. And what's the best time of the day? Well, usually for people, it would either be at the beginning of the day,
as the sun's rising,
or as the sun is setting.
Mm-hmm. You can also do one in the middle of the day, too, when it's at the height, you know, to mark that time of day at noon, because not everybody's an early riser. To be up at sunrise, especially in the summertime when the sun rises sooner.
Right.
You know, so if you have time to do it, if you can do it, you can do an honoring in the morning as the sun's rising, face the sun and do something, or you can make it your routine to do it in the middle of the day, midday, when it's at its highest, or at sunset. And at sunset, you're kind of thanking it for providing light. You're honoring it for what it has done, and, you know, wish it good travels until it comes back again tomorrow kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's some examples of something for sunrise. And also keep in mind that while it's great to be able to go outside and face east, or go outside and face west, or go outside and stand outside around the noontime hour when the sun is at its height, if your work schedule or your life schedule does not permit such things, or makes it's just not flexible enough for you to be able to do that, you can face the direction of the rising sun. You can face the direction of the setting sun. And this is where lighting a candle can become a very important tool to connect. And no, you don't need anything of a special color. You don't need a special type of candle. It can be a tea light. It could be a votive. It could be those little 4-inch candles that we like to call spell candles, but they're not spell candles. They're called chime candles.
Yeah.
And
or even if you're someplace where you just can't even light a candle or go outside, you can use an electronic candle, too, because it does give the light, and it symbolizes a candle.
Right.
It symbolizes the fire of the sun. So you can still associate that way, too. That's okay.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And, again, you know, one of the things about living in modern times where many of us have some sort of ability to connect to images on the Internet...
Uh-huh.
You can pull up a picture of the rising sun. You can pull up a picture of the setting sun. Or the sun at its brightest in the sky, some image you get from someplace, and that can also be your way to connect. And so you don't have to start off doing anything super formal. You can start off with something simple. Something as simple as saying, Lord Lu, shining bright in the sky, we thank you for blessing us with this sunny day.
Mm-hmm.
May we have energy to take on our daily challenges. I don't know, something like that. If you want to thank a God at the end of the day, you can, again, face a direction, use an image, use a flickering candle, use a real candle. Great God Apollo, we thank you for the light and energy you've bestowed upon us this day. We welcome your return tomorrow.
Yeah. It can be as simple as you know, it's up to you. to make it as simple or ornate as you wish. You can rhyme or not. You know, it really is, and this is where it's a very personalized kind of a thing, and that's why we've always encouraged, you know, your own, to craft your own path in that way of there's nothing that you must say, but here are some things that you could say, and you can adapt and change and come up with something of your own as long as it connects you with what you're doing and the sun. I mean, that's kind of the thing, is if you're going to do an honoring of the sun, that's kind of what you must do, is it must be an honoring of the sun. Okay, now go from there. You can look things up, the books and internet and stuff like that, and just, or your own inspiration.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you could even have a ritual designed to honor the sun.
Yeah.
And we did that years ago.
Oh, we did. The sun, yeah, the sun honoring ritual.
Yeah.
I remember that.
We still have it written somewhere, and what we did is we did do it outside, and yes, it can get rather toasty. If you can do it at the height of the sun's power, that's nice, but you do need to use some common sense. You don't want to get a sunburn along the way, so sometimes doing it just after noon on a sunny day works quite well also.
Yeah.
And we...
Here it is.
Yeah, you want
to... I have the ritual. Yeah. So what we did for that, an honoring of the sun ritual, and this is with the Cups group that we did some things with back in... This was back in 2003. 18 years ago.
Wow.
Okay.
Now we take... It's worth saying that we have... Like, we've tweaked on that ritual, and we've done it a few other times.
Yeah, or elements of it.
Yeah, or elements of it, yeah.
So the first thing we did was we cast out a circle. What we got was each, so we used those mirrors that you get at the craft store, the little mirrors at the craft store, the little 3-inch, 2-inch, 3-inch, 4-inch mirrors, whatever they are, and that's what we used. So we had one large one, it's like 6 inches, that we used for leading the ritual, and then everybody had a small one. And we decorated them with Sculpey.
Yeah.
We decorated them, put little little sun rays and stuff on them, or bordered them and stuff with Sculpey, which in time a lot of them that came off because it's a glass and it doesn't stick to glass very well. But it worked for what we were doing. So we cast a circle. We had a thing that we said we held a mirror down so it reflected the sun out of the ground as we walked around with calling forth the power of the sun. We called the directions. Something simple and basic, because it was a group ritual, so we tend to, when we do group rituals like that, we tend to keep things pretty simple. Had some remarks about, you know, the winter brought us cold air, and now we're here with the sun, and it's warm, and we talked about Ra and Helios, and we talked about in China, there were 10 suns that took turns traversing the sky. When they wouldn't cooperate and try to cross together, the heat was too much. So they asked the sons to take turns, but they refused. So their father sent the archer Yi to reprimand the disobedient sons. But he ended up killing 9 of them, so only one remained. Like that kind of stuff. Like, oh, yeah. In Greenland, I think we got this kind of messed up about the sun goddess. But the sun goddess is Eskimos. I don't know why we said Greenland. But anyway, somewhere in northern... North American, Native American peoples had...
The Inuit people.
The Inuit, probably, yeah. Had Melina and her brother Aningin, who lived together, and they fought, and she ran as far as she could into the sky and became the sun. He chased after her, became the moon, so they chased each other across the sky, their brother and sister. And, like, there's other stories like that from other cultures where the sun and the moon were a brother and sister or something like that. But the cool thing about this ritual was we took this... We had each person take turns standing in the middle of the circle. And we had everybody else kind of shift themselves so that we were like really a half circle.
Right.
Because of what we're going to do next. And we had each person stood in the middle of the circle and had them close their eyes and probably cover their eyes. And then we each used our mirrors to reflect the sun, and we started at their feet, and we would kind of, the reflection, the little reflection there, we would kind of move it up their feet up to their head and then back down to their feet again. So, again, cover your eyes. And we just had a thing that we said, on this day and in this hour, we call upon the sun's great power. That's all we said. That was it. But we would chant it as it went up, and then as it came back down again to their feet. And then we said, so mote it be, when it was done. And then the next person, the next person, the next person. So each person was energized by the power of the sun.
Right.
With these mirrors. It was really, really cool. And you could really feel it, too. I mean, if you're standing there receiving this, you could feel the warmth of this reflection.
This focused power.
Yeah, it was really neat. And then we did some meditations and sending spirits to the sun spirit and the chant and cakes and ale and released the quarters, gods and goddesses and quarters in the circle and stuff. But the main element of that was charging each person with the power of the sun using the mirrors. Again, safety, close your eyes, cover your eyes. But that was the main part of it. And we've used that part at other times. We've been a circle for a pagan spirit gathering. We participated in the summer solstice ritual. We didn't do the mirror thing because it's in the morning, it's at sunrise.
Right.
But we did the chant and that kind of thing. So it was kind of a cool thing. So that's one way you can connect with the sun, especially with the other people, with your little group, is, you know, and the chant again was, on this day and in this hour, we call upon the sun's great power. And as you just say that over and over again, as you move the mirror up, your reflection up, and then back down again. And, of course, you need a sunny day, mostly sunny day,
right,
to do that. We were fortunate. We did have a mostly sunny day that day. And, you can feel when the reflection gets up to your face and stuff in your skin, it's noticeably warmer.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So you just take that in.
But when you have that, especially in a group setting, and it was, I don't know, maybe 12, 15 people. It wasn't a huge number.
Yeah, so we were able to take turns one at a time, and it didn't take forever.
Right. So it you know, something like this would work well in a small coven group circle setting and not necessarily with 50 or 60 people unless you could do some logistical creativity. But the main thing is that each person has their opportunity to connect with the sun, and, you know, by extension, then each person has the opportunity to connect with the sun as sun god, and we talked about sun gods tonight, but there's also, from a number of different cultures, sun goddesses, too.
Oh, there are. Yes, and those are probably actually more popular and more well-known than...
For some of them, yeah. And so, depending on the culture, they had sun gods and sun goddesses. Some parts of the world had sun gods and moon goddesses. Some had sun goddesses and moon gods.
Yeah.
And you can incorporate...
Yeah.
Right. With the Inuit. And... So you can forge these connections with deities associated with the sun, and there's so many different attributes of different cultures. And as we look at this source of regeneration and source of power, source of energy that connects us to all living things, things cannot survive on our planet without the importance of the sun. The sun is
most things.
Nearly everything.
Because there are creatures that live at the bottom of the ocean that never see the sun, that are able to stay. They specifically survive without the sun, but there's other aspects that do that do rely on the sun that they feed upon.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. David has paid attention to my environmental science classes over the years.
I learned a thing or two.
Yeah. But, yeah, so what's the ultimate source of energy of nearly all life on the planet? It's the sun. Plants get it, algae get it, and they grow and they flourish, and all other life on the planet revolves on these green things. And logically, we know this, but when we work with the sun in a deity form, it really provides this other dimension of connecting to nature as well.
Yep.
So take some time, do a little bit of research, maybe do a meditation and a little journey, and to see maybe who calls to you, and then find out more and learn more and forge your own connections with this particular deity. And the sun shines every day, regardless of whether we see it or it's hidden by the clouds, so this can be an extension of practices you can do at any time of the year.
Yeah.
Definitely. So we are almost at the end of our hour, and as such, we always like to talk about things that are coming up, and the main thing right now with Circle is virtual PSG 2021. It is going to happen from June 25th through the 27th through a private Facebook group. So when you register for this event, you then get access to the private Facebook group. And there's a round-the-clock schedule. It's already posted on Circle's page. Registration is $75 per person. It's all-inclusive. And this money goes straight towards helping to support Circle, to keep Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve functioning through this pandemic. I don't mind saying that they've lost a chunk of revenue because the majority of their operating costs come from all these in-person events that they would do.
Especially PSG.
Yeah, especially PSG. So the registration for this ends on June 16th, which is it's coming up. It's next Wednesday.
Yep. You got a week.
So you have 1 week left to register for this. There's a boatload of stuff that they've got going on. There's the open, just like they do in person, there's the opening meeting, ceremony of remembrance. There are workshops, and we have some great musicians who pre-recorded their concerts that are also going to be shown. Primal Rhythm, Kaliana,
Spiral Rhythm. Wendy Rule.
Thank you. Thinking, who's the Australian gal? Oh, Wendy Rule. Yeah. So there will be activities going on the entire time for this.
Pretty much around the clock.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, into Sunday. Yeah.
Yep. All kinds of very cool stuff. So I highly, highly recommend that you register. There's also going to be, where is it? It's somewhere in here. There's going to be some sort of merchanting thingy.
There is. It's in the merchant section there on the page, on the PSG page.
Oh, you mean where it says PSG 2021 merchants?
Yeah, I think it's there.
Ermiger. There's going to be a way that they're going to do things. There is a PSG merchants page, www.facebook.com/groups/PSG merchants. That's all one word, slash. So check out that page on Facebook as well. We also have to mention all the things that other people through CSNP are doing.
Yep.
We always like to do that. Next coming up is Saturday.
If you go to Circle website and go to Our Work and go to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, it has a list of what all we're doing everywhere. And on Sundays is Selena's Nature Mystic program, which are reruns of previous programs. Coming up on the 13th, this coming Sunday, is Sacred Oak Magic, talking about pagan lore, symbology, ritual uses of oak leaves, oak trees, acorns, wood.
Yes, on June 12th, on Paganos del Mundo, Laura, this is Laura Gonzalez's show this weekend, and it is on Monarcas. Interesting. So that will be in Spanish. Again, Sunday is
the
nature.
Encore.
Right.
Presentations from Selena. let's see, Lunatech Mondays in English. Next one up is on June 14th. Virtual PSG gathering, talking with Moonfeather and Messina, who are the organizers for this year's PSG.
Yes, on June 15th is Circle Talk and Creating Bedside Spells with Reverend Charlotte Bear. Mm-hmm. And next Wednesday is Selena's show.
Summer Solstice Around the World on the 15th.
Oh, that will.
Right on time.
Right on time.
Yep.
So there's always something to listen to.
And then our full moon ritual on the 24th.
That's right. Always something listening that you can listen to through the many different podcasts on CSNP. And, of course, we've got also, we have, again, the virtual PSG and also Circle does their virtual full moon rituals as well.
Yeah.
So lots of things to participate in. So what are you going to take us out with tonight, Dave?
We could go out with the Horn God by Kellyanna. You mentioned the Horn God earlier.
There you go.
Okay. Kellyanna was just on Circle Talk this past Tuesday. Had a great conversation with her, with Deborah Rose. She's one of our favorite musicians. And so she comes to Northern Virginia. She's up in New England. Comes down to Northern Virginia for events and stuff fairly often, so we get to see her quite a bit. She's really fun, and she will be performing at PSG, so we'll close out with how that. The Horn God?
That sounds good.
Okie doke.
So thank you for listening, and have a great night.
Good night.
Blessed be the Horned God, King of the Wild Hunt. Blessed be the Horned God around the Beltane Fire. Blessed be the Horned God, King of the Wild Hunt. Blessed be the Horned God around the Beltane Fire. Round and round the maypole, weaving white and red we go, to celebrate the season and the Lord and his lady. The horn god guarantees strength and vitality. In sacred marriage to his queen, the horn god gives his blessing. Blessed be the horn god, king of the wild hunt. Blessed be the horn god around the Beltane fire. Blessed be the horn god, king of the wild hunt. Blessed be the horn god around the Beltane fire. Bellfire burning bright will blaze far into the night. In sacred grove and moonlight, the king stag is dancing. We drink a cup of revelry to growth and fertility. Spring has come, we've planted seeds, the horned god gives his blessing. Blessed be the horn god, king of the wild hunt. Blessed be the horn god around the Beltane fire. Blessed be the horn god, king of the wild hunt. Blessed be the horn god around the Beltane fire. First ray of dawn, he bids farewell to his queen. The Lord and his lady will meet again All Hallows' Eve. Blessed be the horned god, king of the wild hunt. Blessed be the horned god around the Beltane fire. Blessed be the horn god, king of the wild hunt. Blessed be the horn god around the Beltane fire. Blessed be the horn god, king of the wild hunt. Blessed be the horn god around the Beltane fire.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.